The title of the sermon today is Choose for Yourselves. And we open the Bible today to Joshua chapter 24. Wow, I can't believe we're already at the last chapter in this Old Testament book of Joshua. It's been quite a journey through this particular portion of Scripture, but this account is quite powerful here this morning. We keep in mind that Joshua is now advanced in age. He's over 100 years old. And we had noted last Sunday, if you were here, that he was giving, as it were, his farewell address. And as we look at this account this morning, we're going to see in verses 1 to 24 that the Lord was using Joshua, even in his old age, to challenge people in their commitment to Yahweh. One's age, by the way, it doesn't matter whether one is young or whether one is old, one can be a channel for the Spirit of the Lord to work through and be a channel of blessing and a channel for God to communicate to others. So here we are, and ready for Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel." Now, at this point, the people should have been paying very careful attention for a couple of reasons. Number one, they knew, you know, this was, as it were, his farewell address. But more than that, at this point, Joshua wasn't making a political speech. He wasn't offering his opinion on current events. He wasn't doing an editorial for the newspaper or for the evening news. He was bringing before the people what the Lord God of Israel had to say. And so I hope that we can approach this with that kind of attentiveness as well. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And so they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you also, the Amazites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities for which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." Now, what we've just read here, we've seen that the Lord was pointing out numerous ways in which he had worked on behalf of the children of Israel. And I had to wonder if God were speaking and addressing things specifically to us this morning, to me, to you, to us. What is it that he would be pointing out? What is it that he would be reminding us of? What great things, you know, that he has done on our behalf? And I think one of the things is that we need to realize that God has been active. He has been present. He has been working on our behalf. Sometimes we take so many of these things, these very things that the Lord has provided and the Lord has done, for granted. But notice now the challenge that Joshua brings before the people in verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, the first thing I'd like us to think about as we consider this scripture is that we've been called to serve the Lord. I don't know, if somebody would ask you, you run into somebody and they ask you, well, what is your purpose in life? What would you tell them? How is it that you're on planet Earth? Why do you exist? What is life all about anyway? Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, said that the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family or career or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why God, or why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. The MSG paraphrases Colossians 1:16 like this, as it refers to the Lord. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. A lot of people go through life without a clear sense of what it all means. And all along, there's something that is missing deep down within. It's like there's a void that's there. Perhaps people don't necessarily recognize what it is or can't put their finger on it or whatever. But it's there, and it's because they haven't gotten to know the source of life. They haven't gotten to know the Creator. They haven't gotten to know the Savior. They haven't gotten to know Jesus. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I'm afraid that too often people concentrate on their circumstances and then they feel like they are coming up short. They're coming up on the short end of the stick. And so they say things like, well, if only I were married, then I'd be happy. Or, in the case of a couple, if only we'd be able to have children, then we would be satisfied. If only we get a different job, then perhaps I'd feel fulfilled in life. If only we could move someplace else or live someplace else, then there'd be satisfaction. Now, if that's you, then please listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul was saying to the Colossians in this passage that we just noted. He said that you are complete in what? You're complete in whom? He said you're complete in Christ. As people created in the image of God, you and I are complete only when we turn to the Lord and we allow Him to have His rightful place in our lives. And we allow Him to swap out that imitation necklace for the real deal, huh? Yeah. Joshua realized how easy it was for people to be influenced by their culture, and so he said, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Instead of chasing after the counterfeit or the substitute or the imitation, Joshua exhorted the people to go after the real deal. Serve the Lord. Well, a second thing we need to think about as we consider our text is this. We need to choose for ourselves whom we will serve. We need to choose for ourselves whom we will serve. Notice again verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes people try to make things happen for other people. One of the big scandals in recent times has been parents trying to get their kids into a prestigious university. And so what did they do to try to make that happen for their kids? They bought off, they bribed university officials so they could get their children admitted to these institutions. They wanted it so badly that they paid off officials. Christian parents may long to see their children serve the Lord, but they can't. They can't buy their children's ways into the kingdom, nor can they make the decision for their children. And most of us have friends or their loved ones, or loved ones that we long to see become followers of Jesus. We know how important that is. We know how great a blessing it would be to have the genuine necklace. What a great blessing it would be to know the Lord. But we can't sign them up for it. We can't do a gift subscription, so to speak. They have to make a decision on their own. Now, during Elijah's day, the importance of people making a clear decision to follow the Lord was seen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 and 21 says, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel, and Elijah came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered not a word. Now, in that case, many of the people were straddling the fence. It's like they were hanging in the balance, vacillating between buying into that which was popular or in vogue in that day with the people around them, and, on the other hand, committing themselves to the Lord. And Elijah knew that you can't have it both ways. Elijah knew you can't have one foot in Baal's camp, so to speak, and another foot in God's camp. And we might talk about it or think of it in the sense, you know, you really can't. You really can't have one foot in the world and have one foot in the church. And thus there's that million-dollar question that was raised. How long will you falter between these two opinions? Now, if you're here this morning and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, then this question that Elijah asked the people is extremely pertinent and relevant for you. How long are you going to be hanging in the balance? How long are you going to be like a spiritual yo-yo or like a pendulum swinging back and forth on the grandfather clock? How long are you going to drag your feet, or how long will you put things off? The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, like in the day of trial in the wilderness. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8. According to 2 Corinthians 6, 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I had to think about when Jesus called his first disciples. What did they do? Did they take 30 days or 60 days or 120 days or whatever to process all of that and before they came back with a decision? No, those fishermen began to follow him right away. They immediately began to serve the Lord because they had a clear call. They heard the voice of the Lord. But will you choose to serve the Lord today? Will you make a decision for Christ this morning? When I give an opportunity after the message, will you say yes to Jesus? Now, you may be here and be the first one in your family to take this step. If so, I hope you don't allow your background to deter you in that. In verse 14, Joshua said, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. You may be the only one in your family that has ever made a decision to follow Jesus. Brings back flashbacks, Diane, from when we had worked with somebody before we moved here. She was, stepfather number five. Lived in many different places over the years, short period of time actually, and she was the first one to graduate from high school and to break out of a cycle. She was the first one in her family to come to Christ and to go on in life. So don't let that deter you. The Lord will be with you. And that's the important thing. The Lord will be with you. We make many choices every day, and we make a lot of important choices throughout a lifetime, but there is no choice that is so significant, that is so important, as the choice to follow Jesus, the choice to serve the Lord. And it is a choice. We either choose him or we choose to reject him. So we've been called to serve the Lord. We need to choose for ourselves whom we will serve. And the third thing to think about as we look at our text is this. We need to obey God's voice. So let's pick up now. We're still in Joshua 24, but we pick up with verse 16 now through 24. So the people answered. In other words, this is people's response to Joshua, to God speaking to them through Joshua. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, "You are witness against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore, he said, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey." I wonder if you noted the word jealousy here in the text when I was reading it. Oftentimes we think of jealousy as being a bad thing. But jealousy is not always a negative thing. When it said in verse 19 that the Lord is a jealous God, it was reminding us of something very positive. It was reminding us that God cares about us so deeply that he wants to protect the relationship with us. It was pointing out that he loves us so greatly that he wants to preserve and to keep intact that covenant between us. How does this play out, practically speaking? Well, it's exactly how the people put in verse 24 after they were challenged to put away their foreign gods and to serve the Lord. They said, "His voice we will obey. His voice we will obey." Jesus, in referring to himself as the Good Shepherd, said what? He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me," John 10:27. And also in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So hearing the voice of God and responding in loving obedience becomes an indicator that we're truly on board with Jesus. Because our calling is to serve the Lord. It's to follow him. So many of you this morning would be able to say, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I hope you can do that and you can reaffirm that today. But if that's not the case, then will you choose this day to follow Jesus Christ? Will you choose him? I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing a song of response in a little bit, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling." And then I'm going to invite you to come, and there'll be some folks here that you can talk to. Or if you have more questions, you can ask them more questions, or you can pray with them. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love and your desire to be in fellowship and relationship with us. And we just pray, O God, that by your Spirit you will continue to move and to work. We pray that you would accomplish that which only you can do in opening hearts and minds and drawing people unto you, in giving them an understanding and a desire to seek you or to further seek you. So we pray, O God, that you would use this word to this ancient generation, and yet to our generation today. Help us to mind you, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.